Ben Stiller's gay.
I don't want to talk about birds. I don't.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
I don't know who to point at.
How do I point you?
Could you please stand up for our nation's national anthem, Andrew?
This is it.
Isn't it? I mean, I hear all these people talking about football and the national anthem, and I thought it was Fox NFL Sunday's theme. So it's been turned into the national anthem of America.
We all know how I don't read the news. And a couple days ago, I was I was going through my email, and I have LinkedIn.
Welcome to episode 298 of Puke in the Gang.
LinkedIn, thanks for listening. Join the PCL.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so I have only obscure social media platforms. Brett's here. And I'm going through my email at work, and I swear to God, my work turning only into just going through my email inbox and taking action on whatever's there, and I'm never, ever, ever caught up. Ever.
Uh-huh.
Like, well, I just sort my inbox, and I take action on things that I'm behind on, and I go back like a week. And I try and clear out my week in reverse order.
What do you mean by take action?
Like, if I need to quote so-and-so. If I need to burn down a village.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm hoping.
But yeah, that's all I do, and it's really dull. And
we have to take action.
Starting to hate it.
Does something get archived, or is it actionable? If it's actionable, does the action take less than 2 minutes? If it takes less than 2 minutes, do it.
Yeah, this is, you told me to do this before.
Hmm.
And I heard this from another man, too, someone named Dave.
Assa Allen.
Yeah, David Allen.
Did you say Dave Assa Allen?
No.
Dave, I was confusing him with the coffee guy.
I listened to Dave Allen's book.
Oh, but, nice.
Yeah, a little years ago. And he told me to do this.
Okay, books don't talk. So I don't know how you listen.
Podomatic does.
Fuck.
Or wait, not Podomatic.
Audible.
Audible. Audible. Yeah, that's it. Audible.
This week's episode brought to you by Audible. Did you know that with the promo code, go fuck yourself, everybodyadvertiseshere.com, you get 10% off.
Cool. Audible? No, Audible. You get a free book.
Oh, free book.
10% off? 10%. What do we look like, Jews?
What do you get if you go to Red Napkin?
What?
What?
Oh, it turns out rednapkin.com or rednapkin.uk goes to a restaurant for gay men.
Oh.
That was a fake ad that I did. It was a parody of Blue Apron.
Oh.
I did a fake ad on my podcast to try and raise money. It didn't work. And
it was very funny.
Yeah, it was a real funny, some of the funniest off-Puke in the Gang work I've done, I think. And
nice. Right now, yeah. It just goes to some website that's in Spanish.
So,
and it's only got one page.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So Dave Allen.
Dave Allen.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like I have a million things that I have to do and a million people to follow up with.
Really?
And yeah. I'm never caught up. And I'll start doing that in the morning thinking, yeah, I'm going to do this for an hour and then I can hit the road. Or then I can like prospect or do something to grow business.
Hmm.
But I get into that and then the next thing I know, I'm on the phone with people. I'm emailing back and forth with somebody. We're having an ongoing conversation.
Well, more emails pile up.
Yeah, exactly.
See, here's the thing. And I don't know what the point is that you want to make, but I'm going to go bigger picture here.
Mm-hmm.
Human beings just aren't made to do this kind of work. Not yet. We're not evolved enough to handle the information economy, you know? Because it's knowledge work. It's information. Right? But we are these creatures, right, that are just a little bit more than a monkey.
Yeah.
And our brains work better.
We're not that good.
And you can send us emails and we can read them and we can use our fingers to type responses to them.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of overwhelm and decision fatigue that we suffer as a result of this is really quite taxing. And people like David Allen and all these other productivity ninjas have tried to solve these problems. And I've tried to solve them, too, in my own life. But what I realize is like, no matter what I do,
you're only as good as you are.
Really well said. That's a good nugget of wisdom. People are just going to keep sending you shit.
Yeah.
You can't stop them.
Well, you know, actually.
Not over email.
Oh.
I go back.
That's why my computer failed.
I go back a few years. To my old job, and I remember having a discussion with Brett about how the fuck do I handle all this shit? Like, all this shit that's coming in, all these things I got to do.
Yeah.
It was my old job, and it was a nightmare. Like, at its worst, I talked to Brett and to try and get advice, and he's like, Evernote, Evernote everything. And
Evernote. Everything.
It's good.
This podcast and brought to you by Evernote.
Dave please. Allen says a lot of the same shit, but I couldn't implement a good system with it. Evernote, I use it all the time, but only to like save shit so I can quickly look it up later and be like, what's the password to that? Oh, yeah.
The problem with things like Evernote, obviously advertises themselves as like, you just use Evernote and everything will be perfect. But like organizing things is a skill that you have to be kind of good at to begin with, or you have to really try it. And like some people, like Andrew, are not good at organizing shit.
Fuck you. You should see my email. I have so many emails.
I've seen your garage. What happened there?
I have so many emails, yet I categorize everything. And I think that's where a lot of my time is going. The time is being spent in the organization. I feel like I used to be a lot more productive when I just winged everything, and everything was stored in my mental filing cabinet.
Mm. Your mentaling filing cabinet?
That job was a holy fuck fest that you used to have.
If that job was just such a pile of shit of chaos that you got lost in the chaos?
I don't think it was a good place to try and implement like a productivity system midstream.
Feel like
more you were just trying to put out too many fires.
Yeah, but I feel like more things can slip through the cracks now.
Did you say fire?
Like, there's just more things in general to worry about at my current job. Not, like, bad. Just, like, I got a million things I got to do.
Right, sure.
And I can't get them done because I'm too busy trying to organize them when I should just be doing them.
Yeah, so I think that one of the remedies for that is doing a weekly review. And because if you're trying to organize things on the fly, like the system needs to become more automated where if something comes in, you know exactly where it goes. And you might have to build broader categories. You might have to build more specific categories. But I mean, Evernote by itself is just a program. It's like any program. So that was why I was saying that learning getting things done and that kind of workflow, those
getting things done is the David Allen book.
Is the David Allen book. And going through those five steps of, you know, you identify things. What is it?
Ooh.
All right. So then you...
It's a parakeet.
I even made a flow chart and put it up behind my desk for like a month.
Yeah. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it didn't help.
Yeah, you really have to be committed to it, and you have to do a weekly review. And Evernote was the best tool for me to implement a getting things done system.
Well, the way you're thinking about it, I should revamp my entire Outlook folder system to just, just priorities, like five levels of priority, or sock away for reference.
Yeah,
I mean, that could have to know how.
Because basically the way I categorize everything, I have manufacturers, all the different manufacturers, and they all have their own specific folder.
Can you please list them off in order?
And I have probably thousands of customers that are all categorized by a specific category. So like community colleges, Northern Maine Community College, and then all the different departments at Northern Maine Community College. Then the individuals within those departments.
Well, that seems to make sense.
Yeah, except for it takes a long time to just fucking drag and drop one goddamn email into a folder because there's a million drop-downs to go through. There's like a bunch of levels.
Yeah.
I have to go into accounts. To go into Maine. I have to go into community colleges. Northern Maine Community College. Mechanical Engineering Technology.
Is there a better way, like better place to store emails other than inside of Outlook?
For Evernote, I forward them right into my Evernote inbox if there are things that are actionable.
Right, but I mean, what I'm saying is like he has to go through a file tree that's a pain in the dick, it sounds like.
File tree, yes.
And what I'm thinking is like, is there some other software where like you could open a separate window and it just like, easier somehow to drag and drop?
When
shit
I was
I don't know.
Really on the Evernote kick, I was sending anything I had to take action on to Evernote, any email I was forwarding to Evernote, and then I was tagging it. And putting it in a specific notebook or something like that. Well, and that was just adding more time and more complexity into simply filing away an email.
I don't even do that. I was as how many emails do you get a day?
I don't know, anywhere from 20 to 200.
Talk to your boss about sending you less email?
It's not him.
It's customers, right?
It's customers and manufacturers. There's no way to avoid it.
Okay.
Like, emails from customers are not bad. The more is good.
And Pornhub, once you sign up, Jesus Christ.
Right?
I've never looked at porn on that work computer.
Yeah, I just got a new computer yesterday, and I'm committing
already
to...
Already porned it?
No, I'm committing to no porn.
Yeah, it's not that hard. Like, once you make it through a week, you're like, well, I don't want to blow this streak now. Next thing you know, it's 3.5 years later.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Good. You got to get an iPad for that shit.
You got to borrow Puke's iPad for that shit.
Oh, wait. No.
So I don't know. I'm just complaining because I feel like I'm losing a lot of time just
trying to organize to then say
yeah. And I don't think I don't think there's anything beneficial to me organizing other than like 6 months down the road, if a customer emails me, I go, oh, where did we leave things off?
Yes, and that's the thing, because that not only helps that relationship with the customer. If you go, oh, fuck, Bill, we talked in March about plastic things.
But I could just simply not file it away and just search his email, or search for his email
his name
address
or something. But
Yeah, you could do that, but...
Don't you? You need a CRM.
So
a resource management.
I do. Then I believe me, I have one, and I could add notes for the rest of my life to that.
Oh. Let me just tell you how I have mine set up, and maybe there's some helpful ideas for you and for you listening at home, right? Ooh. So you make notebook stacks, right? That have notebooks inside them.
I did once.
All right. So these are like my notebook stacks. So I have an inbox. I have current projects, mm-hmm. projects on hold. Essential things that have to do with the show. So
Brett, I set my shit up just like this, just like David Allen suggested.
David Allen Greer?
Right. So
sorry, my brain's scattered.
So sometimes what I'll do is if an email's important, I just forward it. I have a paid version of Evernote, so I just forward it to my inbox.
Mm-hmm.
So then I have it, and it can probably be can go into a project.
Hmm.
You, because of the nature of your work, should be sorting things by people and companies. Not necessarily by projects, mm-hmm. right? And then there's a hierarchy of like a category, like people is customers, companies are manufacturers.
Yeah.
But I think that
I have it accounts and vendors.
When you were at that other job and you didn't really have a system to manage everything, it seemed like you had a lot of bees around you. Do you know what I mean by having a lot of bees around you? Like
bitchy coworkers?
No.
Bitchy employees?
Here's what I mean.
Oh.
Somebody like a bee flies by, right? And it goes,
and I go, fuck, I'm allergic. And I try and punch it.
And someone goes, huh, it's just a bee. It's just one bee.
Uh-huh.
And then the next thing it's, which is two. That's the sound of two bees.
Uh-huh.
And these, every bee.
Wait, do the bee again. There's a couple bees.
Yeah. Hello.
No.
No. But before you know it, there's a swarm of bees. And, mm-hmm. and every one of these bees that seems manageable on its own becomes a swarm that could bite you and kill you. I will tell
goodness.
You, one time, there was this kid, Jeff. We'll call him Jeff Danforth.
I feel like we should use ants and not bees.
Oh, but just wait because hear bee, about what happened.
Even one bee could Macaulay Culkin me.
All right, so Jeffrey Danforth
mm-hmm.
was this boy. And he was friends with my brother, and I thought he was the biggest fucking dork. So one day, I'm like 9, and he is probably like 5.
Was he like Paul from the Wonder Years?
No, he was a different kind of dork. And he's walking down the street away from my house, and he steps on a beehive or a wasp's nest or something.
Oh, no.
And you see them all just fly out and start stinging him. And
oh,
he's
God.
Like, and I just stand across the street and watch it. And I don't laugh or don't think it's funny, but mm-hmm. I'm just like, Jesus. I was really kind
Jesus.
Of indifferent. Jesus. I was kind of indifferent to that. But I said, you know, when I think about being disorganized today, I picture Jeff Danforth.
Mm-hmm.
Getting
stung
bees.
By all those wasps. And every single one of those wasps
I would
is
think
a task.
Of Chris Farley.
Or a person or a thing, a to-do list item that is not in its proper place. Bee sting.
Hmm. Yeah, but
so that it's what I'm saying is that having one of these systems creates a calm that is the opposite of being surrounded by bees.
Yes, I understand that, but I think what's happening to me is I go, oh, a bee, and then I get a little box and I run up to that bee and I capture it in the box and I run in the house and I put that box in the corner and I go back outside, another bee. And I keep doing this all day long.
Right.
And then I come back in the house, and all the bees have eaten through the box. And now they're just floating around in the house.
Yes.
Yeah,
no. Yeah, this is kind of like what Evernote is like. Right? Because it gets away from you.
At a certain point, my house is so full of bees, I'm never going back in.
Right. So at the end of the day, you have to deal with the bee box. And this is...
Right. So you're basically going through each of those bees, each of those emails, each of those action items, and either taking action or filing it away, right?
Right.
That's what I'm doing in the morning, and that's the part I never make it through.
Feet everywhere! God, they're huge! They're ripping my flesh off!
Son, roll around! Jeremy, roll around on the ground!
Forget that! I'm starting to swell up!
Save yourself! Don't be the hero!
Tommy boy.
Okay.
Uh-huh. You never seen that movie, there, Brett?
Oh, yeah, I have. I'm a real David Spade fan. I find him just delightful.
The young women don't so much.
Nope.
I think they do. I feel like he's...
Or they do. Well,
I thought he was successful.
Oh, he's successful at it? Oh.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure plenty of them think he's creepy, but...
Right.
For everyone who thinks he's creepy, maybe he's having success on the side.
Okay.
You don't know.
No, I don't.
He should be looked at as a hero. He's like, what, in his 50s now?
Yeah, probably. He's probably about 50.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just, I think all it's doing is it's prolonging something if I really put it into a system. Because what better system is there than my inbox? It's attached to my phone. It shows up in a list, chronological order, based on most recent.
Remember the time you said,
search everything.
Take my phone and scroll until you find an email from this guy?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like a good system. Sounds like that eats up time, too. Right.
What, Andrew said that to you?
I think you should get a paid version of Evernote, and I want you to wait until I sign up to be an Evernote affiliate and then buy it through my website.
Okay.
But if I don't do that promptly, I think you should do it, and I think you should start to use Evernote as a mail management system. This is kind of a tough one.
It's too bad you can't use inbox.
See,
you
I like
the Gmail inbox. It's very nice. Like you were saying, they have these smart inboxes, and so like shit just automatically. Once you make an inbox, can't see one here. What the fuck? Anyway, like here's one for resume. Like just everything that comes from this website goes into this.
Yeah,
inbox,
I get that. Like, I have Gmail as well. So I know how
but
that
not
works.
For work?
And that wouldn't work for my work.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Right, because like I would have to sit there and spend every fucking day, okay, this email extension should go here. This email extension should go here. And it's the same fucking thing I'm doing, but I have an endless variety of new email extensions to deal with.
Okay.
Okay, maybe more two-minute rule then, right? Because maybe you're letting too much stuff pile up.
Yes, that's the problem.
I think you should organize it by just deleting everything.
Like when I see
delete.
A lot of times I just try and punch it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do in real life is I punch bees when they come near me.
Yeah.
But when I'm like driving along and I get an email, I go, I'm going to respond to this guy. And you know, issue taken care of. Right? And then it sits in my inbox. I'll have to file it later, but at least it's taken care of or I can simply delete it.
You're driving and emailing?
Dude, if I...
Andrew does everything driving somehow.
You know how much less productive I would be if I didn't take care of business while driving?
David Allen would be against that.
Mm. I don't care. I
think he'd have to be legally.
I'm special.
I don't think he could take a pro email and drive.
Yeah.
Imagine what Andrew could do in life if he had a toilet seat for a car.
Oh, yeah. Because I drink so much coffee, I got to pull over and pee a lot.
Yeah. You just figure out how to get a pisser in that.
You know, just a few short years ago, I refused to drink any coffee ever.
What?
Yeah, something turned. Like,
you
6 years ago, I'm just like, I guess I'll have a coffee because I have no sleep and I'm really tired. I need to do something without taking drugs.
So you took the stimulant drug of caffeine.
Yeah, and then, like, that was it. Every day, coffee.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, it is highly addictive drug.
Wouldn't it be neat if there was a vehicle that ran on pee and poop and you could, but how would that, let's see, like, I know what everyone's thinking, Brett, that sounds like a stupid and completely impractical idea, but what if,
I thought you were just going to quit there.
I don't know. So like there's the driver's seat, but it's a toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
Dave needs this for when Dave goes cross country because he's got his pooping problem.
Yeah, and he's driving.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
how to make poop into fuel mm-hmm. would solve so many problems. Now you really need to.
That's the what was it, the Mr. Fusion?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Now how do you leverage?
Well, we're
it,
going,
though,
Marty.
Right, because a turd is what, a pound, 2 pounds tops. So,
I'd like to know. You know, that'd be a good way to measure your intake and output.
Yeah.
Another one of these damn kids jumped in front of my car.
Wait.
Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Yeah, but why?
Because the Mr. Fusion.
You said Mr. Fusion.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
Try to keep up, Brett.
Try to keep up.
You're behind.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Anyway, if you have ideas at home about how to make a toilet car powered by poop, write in.
I think the real challenge is going to be the blood flow to the feet. I mean, how long can you sit on the toilet before your legs fall asleep?
Well, how long can you sit on a car seat? Just adapt a car seat.
It has like a Prius thing, right? How the Prius has the electric motor, but it also has a gas, right?
Okay.
So the toilet car has your poop, but it also has pedals, right? So between poops, right? What's going to happen? Like, how long can the poop burn for?
The pedal pooper.
The pedal pooper.
Jesus
from the makers of Paloon and
the pickle peddler,
the pickle peddler.
That's a real thing.
What was the other invention that we were just working
Mouse
on?
Mouse hammer?
No. That's a whole different company. That's not even the same division.
That's a subsidiary.
No. They're not even related.
Oh, it's AMPMBM.
AMPMBM. Yeah. Right. When you decide when you want to poop.
Mm-hmm.
Which, man, wouldn't that be something?
That would. I try to poop before the show.
I do.
Couldn't do it.
I do decide when to poop. To some extent, generally when not to. I mean, like, it's hard to, like, just be like, I'm going to shit now. Yeah. But generally you can, I hope, determine how you can hold it, right?
Yeah, but it's kind of very uncomfortable in certain situations.
English. Yes, that's very true.
I go through phases at work where I'm on the road a lot and I don't have time to keep up with all these emails coming in. Just don't have time. I don't have time to file them away. And I get so far behind. I can get months behind. Like, my inbox just fills up with literally 2 months worth. Yeah. Where, like, I haven't filed emails in 2 months.
Jesus.
Just simply filing them. And I'll eventually have to go back and do that. And I'll do it sometimes, like, late at night or early in the morning when nothing else is happening. But then other times, like the past couple of weeks, I'll be home, working from home a lot. And just trying to sort of clear out this space and take care of anything lingering, and I feel so unproductive, and I'm just like, I'll never make it back on the road. I just don't have time to make it back on the road. So maybe I should just literally let everything fall into the inbox. I can search for a person's name if I have to.
All right. Well, I mean, try it.
Like, maybe I'll have a must-do folder, like a to-do list, and that's what I use Evernote for. Like, I must get these things done, otherwise I'll forget. Like, I have a phone call with a customer who calls me out of the blue while I'm driving, and he says, hey, I need this, this, and this. And I'll tell them, hey, email me so I don't forget. But I can't trust them to do that. So I'll put it into Evernote on like a checklist.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'll refer back to. So maybe I don't need the email filing system. Maybe it's just a huge waste of time and I've wasted 3.5 years of my life with it.
Not 3.5 solid years.
Well, no, but I've wasted time on it for 3.5 years.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. You have to find a system that works for you.
You have to think about what's the, all right, so pros and cons, right? What are the pros of the email filing system?
The pros are when there's an issue, like with a manufacturer promising something and not delivering,
I have
a very highly chronicled discussion with everything is written down and it's filed away and I know where to find it quickly.
Find it. Mm.
And I can go, fuck you,
look
Roy.
At this. Ha! Look at this, you piece of shit.
Now, what kind of cross-pollination, get it, bees, because of bees, is there between, like, different categories, right? Like, would you have to say a customer and manufacturer? Like, a customer calls and says, hey, Andrew, what's the deal with, manufacturer company?
That would just obviously, I would go under the effect that customer.
What?
That would go underneath that customer.
Okay.
I would file it under that customer.
But if you're not going to have the filing system, how are you going to deal with that?
Oh. Then what am I trying to figure out? So he emails me and says that.
And then you have to find some information about some manufacturer.
Oh. Then I can... Oh, okay. So the information about the manufacturer is either found on the website or found on a partner portal that we have access to. For that manufacturer, so I can go find that information, or I have a price list from that manufacturer saved, so I can generate a quote, I can get specs, I can get a data sheet for that system.
Where do you have that saved?
Google Drive. My boss saves a bunch of shit on the OneDrive. I like Google Drive just because my phone's all Googled.
Yeah. So maybe you really don't need it.
I think it's an extra layer that just wastes a lot of my time.
So I would say try removing that layer.
Yeah.
And see how it makes you feel.
Because there are other layers that I neglect, like our CRM, that's super important to my boss, and he wants it updated constantly. I'm just like, ugh, I don't have time for that shit. I got to like read his email and file it.
Right. So I think that's the thing with life, is it's about removing unnecessary layers.
I think it is unnecessary.
You ever have a...
I didn't plan to get into this, by the way. We just got into it immediately when the show started, and hopefully this will help.
Yeah. The real reason you use Google Drive is because it says drive. And you're like, yeah, I drive.
No, because it's web-based, and I can access it from anywhere if I need to.
If it was called Google Car, Microsoft Car...
I'd be confused.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
Drive.
What?
What were you saying?
Bees!
I was saying life is about moving, removing unnecessary layers.
Mm-hmm.
And like an I was going to ask if you ever had a 7-layer burrito from Taco Bell.
Oh, my God.
Not from Taco Bell, but other places.
What? Not from Taco Bell? How could you know? The grilled stuffed chicken. Grilled chicken.
This was called a 7-layer burrito. Okay. Oh, yeah. So what it was lettuce.
Right. The grilled stuffed came after.
Sour cream.
Yeah.
Cheese.
Mm.
Refried beans.
So good.
Apparently guacamole, which not is what they call it at Taco Bell. Rice. That's six. What would be the seventh?
Meat?
Probably.
No, there's no meat.
Oh, fuck
was
that.
Was it the wrapped tortilla?
Oh, would that count as part of... Oh, those motherfuckers.
To the internet!
So what I would do is I'd get some hard tacos with beef, right? And I would empty the beef into the 7-layer burrito, and I would make a real... adding layers. You know?
Unwrapping the burrito.
Unwrapping the burrito and pouring tacos into it.
This seems insane.
This is, do you get my point?
Yeah, this
about,
is just going to make for a very unstable burrito.
We want to be removing layers that are not necessary.
Yeah,
not it's adding. Not illegal to be covered in tacos.
And I'd be doing this in my car.
Your burritos would be bursting at the seams.
Right. And they would. My
burritos would make a mess all over your shirt.
Yeah.
How could you eat that while driving?
Exactly.
Like I eat Taco Bell. Well, I used to eat Taco Bell while driving. It was hard to not make a mess.
Indeed.
And I got the cleanest possible food I could.
I used to eat salads while I was driving.
That's a little bit easier because you can use a fork.
Here we go. We got the ingredients.
Handheld stuff is dangerous because it could squirt out the other end.
Oh, yeah.
That's the issue.
That's what she said. Taco Bell Wiki. Can you believe there's a wiki for Taco Bell? Anyway, the 7-layer burrito is a large meatless burrito filled with beans, sour cream, lettuce, tomato, guacamole, the three cheeses, blend, and seasoned Latin rice.
So this is why I wouldn't get it. Like, why would I pay for food without meat?
Exactly.
That's why you have to get the chicken grilled stuffed.
Especially when it's like $1 a taco at Taco Bell. A meat taco.
Meat taco.
While we got the Taco Bell wiki open, can you find out if chalupa means canoe?
Let's just search for that. Chalupa.
Does it really?
I feel like it does.
No, it's tiburon.
Tiburon?
No, that's shark. Shark. Yeah.
Mexico. Chalupa is a two-man canoe.
How about that?
Mexico, a chalupa is a bowl-shaped fried tortilla stuffed with chopped meat, lettuce, cheese, etc.
Because, you know, it's shaped like a canoe.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But yeah. So is a taco, kind of.
See?
No, you're right. Taco is very, they're kind of the same shape.
Yeah, but a chalupa is more
sturdy.
Oh,
there's even a boat. Chalupa boat.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
man, you guys want to go get some Taco Bell?
Nope.
This episode brought to you by Taco Bell. Go to Taco Bell. Let them know you listen to Puke and the Gang. You get 10% off when you point a gun at their face. We have a package.
Oh, that's a sound of a package.
Sound of a package.
What's in the fucking box?
Do we know who it's from? It's from Amazon.
Amazon. Thank you so much, Jeff Bezos,
for peeling off
one of your trillions of dollars and sending it our way. Is there a note?
Oh, I know what it is already.
Okay, because you're looking at the shipping label.
It says, a gift for you. Enjoy from an avid listener.
Unidentified.
Well,
an anonymous gift?
Yeah.
Anonymous.
We just watched a Curb about this.
Oh,
Yeah, anonymous.
Holy shit. Right before the show started, we were thinking of things to talk about, and Andrew said, hey, let's, I think I suggested trivia or whatever.
He said quiz.
I was looking for a trivia website, but...
We just got the Ultimate Trivial Pursuit Question and Answer Book. Tons of trivia for group or solo play.
Oh,
solo
fucking play. Open that up and ask me anything.
All right.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Give me the category.
Entertainment.
All right.
Mm.
What is the name of the coolest girls gang in the movie Grease?
Oh, fuck.
Jets and Sharks, right?
The Jugs.
Titty Stompers.
No, you're both wrong, and Puke was thinking of West Side Story.
Fucking Nugget.
So, anyway, I'm a kid and I'm watching Grease, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's one scene where they're talking about a girl's jugs.
Oh.
Now, jugs are tits, boobs,
mm-hmm.
cans.
Oh, melons.
Melons.
Bazongas.
Fun bags. Fun bags, yeah. And
big, fat sacks of milk makers.
I feel like it was the John Travolta character.
Vinnie Barbarino.
I feel like this is real. Like, this really happens, right? Like, all the Grease guys are talking, and he goes, hey, her jugs are bigger than Annette's, right?
They're like two hot air balloons.
No, right. This is real?
Oh, I don't know.
No,
her jugs are bigger than Annette's.
I haven't seen Grease since I was like 5.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I felt like I was like 11 or 12, right? Now, there's a character in the film named Annette, but I don't know that, right? Because I'm just watching it from some random part.
Oh,
so
fuck.
To me, it registers in my mind as her jugs are bigger than her nets. And I'm like, what the fuck are her are nets?
Oh.
There's some part of a woman that I don't even know about. Like, jugs are boobs.
Mm-hmm.
But what are nets? I never found out.
Hairnet? Labia?
I am thinking of...
her ass?
Whose jugs are bigger than her nets?
There's a character, Annette, from a movie I had on Laserdisc as a kid, Back to the Beach.
Oh.
You ever seen Back to the Beach?
No.
No.
Oh, it's great. It's about these two like former Southern California celebrities, and they're older now, and the dad's like a yuppie, and it's about the teen trying to... Annette Funicello and Frankie something or other.
Valley?
No. Maybe? No.
Who's stars Frankie Avalon.
Avalon, that was
Annette
it.
Annette Funicello,
yeah.
Lori Loughlin, and more.
But it's a very good movie. Pee-wee Herman's in it.
So clearly it's high art. Probably came out, I would say, at least the 1940s, based on this here poster.
Oh, yeah. It's very 80s. But
it looks like a goddamn trapper keeper vomited on top of a fucking Lisa Frank folder.
What I'm getting at, I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
Oh, my God, you fucking non-homos. Let me go show you what Lisa Frank.
I'm just confusing. You keep saying Annette. All I can think of is this movie. That's my problem. I can't think of anything about Grease other than I hated it. I was supposed to like it. It was about cars.
Oh, now here's the thing.
It wasn't about cars.
Brett might be too old and Andrew might be too young. But you guys didn't
Dolphins
see
fucking
these insane so
yeah, colorful
in the,
folders.
In the
I didn't
80s,
know they were
early 90s,
how
yeah.
the fuck do you know they're called Lisa Frank?
Just, I don't know.
I would have just said girl folders.
Puke in the Gang Back to the Beach trailer review. Should we do it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We totally should. Look up Back to the Beach trailer.
What the fuck?
In the meantime. And anyway, the
yeah,
answer
what's
to that,
the answer to this goddamn
the pink ladies.
Pink ladies.
Ask me one more.
Jesus, that sucks. What the fuck am I looking up?
Back to the beach trailer.
What circus star tipped the scales at 6.5 tons?
What? I don't know. One fat bitch.
All right. Hang on. Puke might get this one. What TV character's price is $847.63 when she is scanned through the supermarket checkout machine?
Oh, the baby in The Simpsons. What's the baby's name? Does the baby have a name?
Yeah.
No, the baby just doesn't talk.
Holy fuck. I know the baby's name.
Lisa, Bart...
Oh, Maggie.
Fuck, I don't... mm-hmm. Maggie. Wow.
Yes,
okay. Yeah. Jeez.
So we all got it together. What 1996 British movie did Senator Bob Dole charge with glorifying drug use before later admitting he hadn't seen it?
Oh, I am Bob Dole.
I could guess.
Trainspotting.
That's what I'm guessing.
Oh, I was going to say.
Yes.
High. What's that movie? I don't know.
3 o'clock high?
No, the movie that everybody
talked.
No, the movie that.
High Noon?
Yes.
Fast
two in a
Times
row.
At Ridgemont High.
No, the weed movie that.
Fast Times at Ridgemont. No, that's
no,
a TV
the
show.
The goddamn. No,
that
was the 40s.
No, that was
the movie in the 40s.
The 40s.
Reefer Madness.
Reefer Madness.
Oh, no,
thank
that
you.
Doesn't have the word high in it at all.
Ask another one.
What in 1998 became? Hold on, Puke. Became the first movie since The Sound of Music to win Best Picture Oscar without being nominated for its screenplay.
I'm sorry. Read it again.
Yeah, boy.
What in 1998 became the first movie since The Sound of Music to win Best Picture Oscar without being nominated for its screenplay?
Oh, probably Titanic.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm, fucking Cameron.
All right. One more.
One more.
Geography.
And then 100 more.
Okay. Geography.
Look what you've done, anonymous listener.
What is the name of Spain's famous cold soup made mostly from tomatoes?
Gazpacho.
Really?
Yeah, gazpacho.
Oh, yeah, wow. I didn't know that.
Oh, well, let's just keep going until I get one wrong. I
fuck
mean,
the rest of this faggot show. Yeah, let's just keep going trivia. Gay.
What river, celebrated as being blue, looks decidedly brown as it flows through Vienna?
The Danube.
The Nile.
Oh. The Danube.
That's right. Okay, hang on.
I'm also
that's a
smart.
Song. Blue
Shit.
Danube.
Okay. What was suspended in Northern Ireland in 1972?
Potatoes.
What was suspended?
The category is history.
Huh. Suspended. I would say elections.
Uh-huh.
That's got to be somewhere around like all the IRA stuff happening, right?
No one's going to get it.
I don't know.
And with that, we move on. Home rule.
Home rule?
Oh.
Anyway.
Would you guys like a little Blue Danube?
No, I want Back to
Johann
the Beach.
Johann Strauss!
This movie's in 2000. This song's in 2001, A Space Odyssey.
I want Back to the Beach. I want Back to the Beach.
Fine. You uncultured right. Swine.
This is a great movie, by the way.
Hey, yay! Head for the
car! Whoa! Women in bikinis, holy shit.
Women in bikinis, guys surfing.
Look at... He's got a switchblade comb.
All right, so it's 80s.
It's 80s surfing.
Surfing.
The surf punks. This is the worst audio ever.
It certainly is.
And pretty bad video.
Yeah.
Find another trailer.
Let's see if I can find something better here. Thanks for nothing.
Annette Funicello and Frankie Avalon star in Back to the Beach.
Oh, this one's better. Here we go.
There we go. Skip ahead a little bit.
You're not a surfer anymore. What are these, like, beach punks?
They're not as good as the long wooden boards I used to ride, but, yeah.
You guys got a surfboard.
They're like riding around on a coffee table.
Coffee table.
By that much. Hi,
Luke. So what do you say we do some damage to my dad's American Express car?
Ha-ha! Pee Wee Herman, what the fuck?
Stop.
Are you fun?
Amusement park.
On surf.
Dude, it's your mom.
I can't talk now, man. I gotta surf. Sorry, ma'am. He's dead.
The bird.
Really know how to talk to again.
Oh! Thank you, Avalon.
Well, how about this?
Hey, where's the word?
Fishbone.
What?
The band Fishbone.
She's pretty hot.
And special appearances by Don Adams.
Just a bunch of people
master,
dancing.
Right? Now I'm the captain of the loveboat.
Nice drink, old buddy.
Bob Denver.
Don't call me that. I hate being called that.
Hey, dude.
And Pee Wee Herman.
The announcer is there.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah, a great movie. I had it on Laserdisc.
Why is Pee Wee Herman and Gilligan in it?
Because it was the 80s and it was California Hollywood. I don't know.
No.
Yeah. Why is everybody dancing? Where do these drinks come from? I don't know. It's a party.
And
The Simpsons made fun of shit like this.
Jesse, Uncle Jesse's wife is in it.
Hmm.
She's real hot. It was pre-Full House.
Well, there you go. Back to the Beach.
Yeah. We should watch Back to the Beach sometime. Yeah.
We should be doing DVD commentaries of movies.
We need to try it.
$3 on YouTube.
Yeah. We do it on a Zoom, and then we just tell people...
to pay us?
Yeah. Well, they have to watch the movie. We have to get them a copy of the movie somehow. Yeah. It's their steps. We could do it with movies on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We've already hashed all this out before. We just never did it.
We've talked about it now for 4 years.
We've tried much.
It. Yeah, we've tried it. What are we doing? Oh, yeah, thanks for the book, person.
Yeah.
That sent that.
Pretty great.
Absolutely.
I'm excited. It's very thick.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like this could last all the shits the rest of my life.
I hope so.
That's a lot of shits.
No, Andrew, I hope you outshit that book.
I think you could outshit that book. It's only like, what, 300-some pages? 400?
Looks like it's about 500.
You're both very wrong.
Oh, no.
675, 741.
2,000.
800.
127.
864. That's what I said.
Numbers.
I'm trying to point up and down, but they're both guessing.
So if you're
guessing high, Brett's guessing low.
If you
confusing.
Read one page a day per poop, It would only take you
a couple years.
A year.
And I could read way more than one page.
It's like, what, 10 days in a year, right?
There's only 5 questions on each page or something like that. Yeah. Or 6.
Mm.
6 questions. I love trivia. I went to the Common Man restaurant, and they had trivia cards on the table. Oh, the Trivial Pursuit cards. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I never knew how much fun trivia was until I realized you could mix it with booze. And then it's a whole hoot.
I don't like bar trivia. I like Trivial Pursuit.
Oh.
You know what else I'm good at? Poker. Should we talk about that?
I fucking hate poker. Poker's stupid. It's a dumb game. And I hate all these people who watch TV and those fuckers on TV playing poker. Yeah. I never liked those guys.
No, they're the worst.
Yeah.
There was one of them that I liked. Phil something.
Hartman.
Phil, he had a funny name.
That is a funny name.
Yeah. But yeah, so poker's
great. If his last name was this funny.
Why is poker so great?
Yeah, why is it awesome? Why do you like poker, Brad? I don't know why we're bringing up such a subject.
I think because it's a skill game. It's not gambling.
Yeah, true. And it's not like that horseshit Nick keeps trying to peddle,
Blackjack,
which I think he just does because he wins somehow as the dealer. Right,
that's a strategy game too, but
is
not
it?
Like poker. Yeah, but not
it
like
it seems
poker.
Real. Like you're just like, okay, give me cards. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, my winning percentage on blackjack, I don't lose as much money at blackjack as I do at poker.
Right. Yeah.
Even though blackjack, you're just incentivized to keep feeding money in.
Yeah. When did you get into poker, there, Brett?
I haven't played in years. I used to play online a little bit, but not even for real money because I just like the game so much.
Now, I used to play poker. I got it on an iPod, like the original iPod with the little circle button thing.
Yeah, I had a video poker when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I played the shit out of that when I was in the Army, like bored. That was around the time, 2003, 2004, somewhere around there, like when it started being advertised shown on ESPN, like that ESPN World Series of Poker and shit, and everybody was like, I reckon play poker too, I love poker. I played poker with Army coworkers and stuff like that quite a bit.
I don't
like
every
few months.
It's suddenly cool to be into something that a year earlier no one would have cared.
Give a shit about.
But now you want to talk about it all the time and people think you're cool for it.
Yeah, like poker. Andrew was just like, hey, we're going to play poker. I'm into it now.
I didn't do that.
Well, no one's into poker now compared to back then.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. We're way after the boat sank on that.
Okay.
But the reason we're bringing this up is last night was poker night.
Yeah.
And a lot of people. And Brett, why don't you tell us how it went from your perspective?
I thought it went really well.
Did it?
I was really happy with how it went.
Yeah.
But you know, so Army, I put in $20 and I won $172. and it took about, I think, a little less than 3 hours. So,
yeah, I put in $20 and I won a little less than -$60.
Wait, how does that work?
I won -$60.
Negative. He's in the hole, $60.
Oh, so you put in.
He lost.
I bought in 3 times.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Me too. I lost 53. Four.
I bought in 2 times in the course of like 90 seconds.
Yeah, so that was pretty great.
Peter didn't the chat says didn't buy back in, did he?
Once.
Okay. He did buy back in once.
So I was the only person who didn't buy back in.
And won a shit ton of money.
By the end of the game. Yeah.
Did Tom not buy back in?
I felt like Tom did.
Did Mike?
Mike?
No, he lost.
He split.
Lost and split.
And Macy went out almost immediately because she doesn't know any of the rules, which I advise against.
She refuses to learn, though.
It
just seems like she just doesn't try to learn.
Yeah, which I would advise against in a money game.
Well, yeah.
It does seem slightly foolish. Yeah.
No, we could teach her easily enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think we tried.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do when someone goes, yeah, a blue chip? Whatever that means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll bet this much. What do these cards do for me?
Frankly, I'm fine with it. I encourage more people to come to the table that don't know what the fuck they're doing and are willing to just give up their money.
See, I don't like it because it's very hard to bet against that, right?
I think I lost a hand to her.
Right, like,
because they're stupid and like, or just don't know what they're doing.
So let's talk strategy. Sorry, go ahead.
What?
Well, I thought you were done with your sentence.
I thought you were starting one. And then, bees.
Let's start just talk strategy a little bit, and I'll tell you why playing with inexperienced people can be a problem.
All right.
So let's
What's
say...
What's the card with the bicycle on it count as?
I don't know what card has a bicycle on it.
All of them. Oh, they all do. There's 52 of them.
So let's say I get dealt a hand, and it's ace-king. Right, okay. Suited. Ace-king, both of spades.
Yeah, I lost with that. I went out with that hand.
Okay, but because you made a mistake with that hand.
Oh,
when you,
what do you do?
When you have that hand, right, you say, this might be a winning hand. So people get greedy, and they go, oh, I'm going to win with this hand, right? But you don't know that you're going to win with that hand.
Very true.
But the odds are higher that you're going to win with that hand. So you have to immediately bet as if you're going to win with that hand. And then the chances increase that you are going to win with that hand because players are going to say, ooh, he bet a lot. I'm going out. But what people try to do is they think they have a good hand, so they try to suck everybody in.
Right. That's what I do. That's my, like, I get a good hand and I'm like, I don't want to bet yet because I want more money.
Exactly.
I don't want to let them know that I think I have a great hand.
Yeah. So when
then I'm like, I'll bet 10 cents. And then you yell at me because the bet's a minimum of 25.
So,
angry.
So Macy's sitting there with a 2-7 offsuit, right? And I'm guessing this is hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you've got your ace king, right?
Yep.
And then you don't bet, so people don't fold. No, let's not use Macy because she doesn't know how to play the game. But let's just
you
say
can use me. I mean, let's just pretend we're
okay. But when
because I'm pretty stupid too.
When somebody bets big, the 2-7 folds. Right? Because they're not good. I mean, that is the worst. It's a hand. 2-7 offsuit's the worst thing you can be dealt.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Literally?
Yes.
Oh.
In Texas Hold'em.
Yes, because it's the lowest you could get and not have a chance of getting a straight.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Oh.
And
I learned something. Is that in the book over there?
But if you're not betting big with your ace-king, then you allow people the chance to stay in for the flop. Now, if the flop is 2-2-7, like the TV show with black people... You know, you've never heard of 227?
No, I haven't.
Oh, then it might be a YouTube for us. Now the person who should have folded has a full house.
Yeah.
Right.
And your ace king gets you nothing twice in a row.
Now multiply that. Now that is a far-fetched scenario. The odds of that happening are very slim. But if there's five people at the table, if you're allowing them to see the flop when they don't have good enough cards, you're giving them a chance to make a hand.
I
you
see.
Know,
yeah.
Like I fold, I'll fold a pair. Like if somebody bets big, and I have like a, if I even if I'm holding a pair of sixes,
mm-hmm.
and somebody bets big on the flop, if I don't have a set, if I don't have three sixes, I'd probably fold it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, this is my problem. Is that I've heard this several times before. Is that like the people that win fold a lot?
I fold almost every hand,
like, all constantly.
Yeah,
and but I'm like, you know, it's psychologically, you're like, oh, but I'm
losing. I want to play.
Yeah, and I want to play. I'm not doing anything. So it's kind of not fun, but it is the smart
game decision. Must have sucked before people had phones. Because then they just really had to sit there. But what I do is...
That's a jab at Andrew. He's constantly on his phone.
I was on my phone the whole time until later in the game when I was out and I had nothing else to do.
So what I did was,
mm-hmm.
at the beginning of the game, I shouldn't even be telling you this.
Oh, it's fine.
I fold a bunch of my hands, and then I sit there and I watch what other people do.
Mm-hmm.
So if this isn't a winning hand, I fold it. And
I
then
know
I watch
what you're doing. I just don't care when you're doing it.
Well, I'm saying that it's useful information if you're trying to win money. Like,
yes,
the purpose of playing poker is to win money.
Right. And I'm not going into it with that mindset. Like I want that to happen, but I'm just like, I'm just hanging out. And my goal is to drink this drink.
Mine's to eat jalapeno poppers.
And eat jalapeno poppers, bacon covered jalapenos or whatever. And, but I know you're sitting there analyzing everything. I watch you. I see you doing this.
I see you.
I know
me,
you're doing it.
You.
And I go, oh, well, I could think about what Brett's doing and try and figure this out and try and figure out how to win money. But it'd be more fun to forget what he's doing and just focus on something else.
I'm going on a trip. I need money. I won a tire last night for my car.
You did.
160. I gave Nick
no.
$12, so 160 bucks.
A tire for your one tire cost $160 for your car?
Probably.
Yeah, it's a big tire.
Jesus fuck. I just bought four tires for my car, and they were $96 a piece. I got like the cheapest all seasons I could because they're just for like, you know, summer and fall.
He has a much bigger car.
Yeah. Is it? Are the tires that much bigger? Mine are 215, 45, 18s.
Yeah, it's probably like, fuck, I don't know.
Like they're big. They're big tires. Mm. It's a more rare size.
This conversation is why Nick quit.
Yeah.
We're talking about tires.
We're talking about tires?
Poker.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, liquor, so sorry. I'm not saying that your strategy is bad by any means.
Uh-huh.
It appears to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You won technically last week, but you had to go to bed or whatever. Like, you were tired and kind of sick, so I think you would have cleaned up last week too, but thankfully you left and I won. Yay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You could have had another 70-some dollars.
I think I walked away with, you know, 70-something.
Yeah. Yeah. And puked tied, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's fun, and yeah, it's very frustrating because I did pretty good last week. I didn't buy in at all, and I won. And then this week, I bought in fucking three times.
I'm out $180. $40 for poker last week.
Uh-huh.
$60 for poker last night.
Yeah.
And $80 for tables.
Yeah, you had to buy. We had to buy tables.
I'm sorry, I had to buy tables.
You had to buy tables because you're like, hey, wouldn't it be fun if we play poker?
But then you sold the table to
what
Nick.
What do I do with this?
Oh, well, I thought for sure somebody would have a table.
Oh.
Because Nick had a table.
Yeah, he did have. I have a tiny table that would fit four people.
Tiny table. Sorry.
Yeah. But now we have a $300 table coming.
Yeah, so. Maybe. Scamazon.
Yeah, Nick talked us into buying a fucking $250 poker table. Thank you, PCL. You paid for it.
Well, poker every... shit, I got to leave in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I only got two more I can do. One more.
What? What do you mean?
I'm leaving, too.
Oh.
I want to talk about that after the break.
Everybody's gone. Oh, yeah, fuck me. Nick's pissed. We're 5 minutes past the 45.
But let's go to break. During the break, we're going to hear a clip of the most recent news with Nick.
News with Nick.
PukingTheGang.com/VIP.
Oh, yeah. If you want to hear, that's going to be, I think, the only place you can hear Nick from now on.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Or the live stream, pukingthegang.com/live.
Go to break.
He's been gifted a brick building that was full of cats and trash and fleas and carpenter ants. And if you look at the video, it is just a brick building that's gross. And they're saying, here, it's going to be a mosque.
Joy, this brick building behind me will become that mosque.
They sent NBC Boston down the street to report on something that doesn't exist. This is like me saying, hey, guys, this house is going to be the biggest gay sex club next week. I've done no work to make it that. I haven't installed any new showers. I haven't installed any new swings, any chains. I painted one room blue and I said, hey, I bet you this could become the next big thing. This is going to be a casino, actually, next week. Come report. I promise you, this will be a casino. I'm going to be breaking all the laws. I'm actually going to get one of those. I'm going to go to Puke's house. I'm going to get that roulette wheel that Joe gave us. And that's going to be roulette, right? I'm going to need one of those $5 mats with the numbers on it. But other than that, that's going to be roulette. Craps will be played in the bathroom. And we got poker going. I'm going to run a full casino out of this house.
Really interesting.
Send to NBC Boston.
Thing here is that inside you'll find volunteers from all different religious backgrounds just coming together to make this happen.
Wow, she took that line directly from Ian.
I'm gonna start over. Welcome to episode 298. This is After the Break. Now here we are talking about things and whatnot and hoo-ha.
So we covered poker.
298. Can you believe 298 shows?
We covered this package. We covered organization, Evernote, emails, bees.
Mm-hmm.
Bees.
So, Brett, we all know that you think you're an interesting man.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, but I think you're an interesting man, too.
Oh, nice.
And I don't know if you've ever really gotten into it too much, just because it's always been dopey and goofy on this show, but how did you end up deciding to start a podcast and... making that your life's work?
I didn't mean to do any of it. Well, I meant to start the podcast.
Someone recorded me surreptitiously.
Yeah, one day
and put it out there.
He walked into a Best Buy and fell into a pile of microphones. He's like, oh, I guess this is my life now.
I'll never make it out.
Yeah.
So I was tutoring in Boston in like 2006, and I was super frustrated with a lot of the aspects of the work. And I was commuting a lot, so I started listening to podcasts, and I was listening to Free Talk Live.
God, why is that everyone's inspiration?
And it was Mark and Gardner. And I was like, you know, I could do this. I would like to be on a show like this.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summers, I had been painting, and I had been, like, listening to audio, and then I would kind of pause the audio and talk about it.
Have, like, an inner monologue?
No, I talk out loud, just on a laptop.
To yourself?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, paintbrushy, let's talk about the show. The other people that you worked with, you're like, he's talking to the paintbrush.
He's singing into his paintbrush, too. Yeah.
I would paint a little face on the house next to where I was working. Yeah. And I'd go, you know what, Steve?
And the wall just said, nigga, 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 nigga.
Yeah, it did. I wrote that out, too, with like little musical notes around it.
Now, UNH is going to get a hold of this and have a fucking hate.
So I had all these. I started to form all these ideas about education. I was like, I should really try to do something important. Like, I should say something about school. No one ever talks about it.
But I'm stuck here on this ladder, really stoned. Right? You can't paint not high.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't be high. Just having entertaining audio to listen to made it great. So around that same time, I just started talking into GarageBand, like all my ideas.
What's GarageBand?
It's a recording program for
Apple. Yeah, it comes
Apple.
With Apple.
Oh, yeah.
PCs.
And I had an Apple at the time. So I would export it and I would listen to it in the car. And then I started
I like hearing myself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did.
See, no one else has that reaction.
And then I would add music to it.
Oh, nice.
Right? Like I had all these ideas for how music would be cool in shows based on thinking music was cool, how it was used in movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I love how, sorry, I don't mean, well, I want to interrupt because I want to get this out there. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for interrupting, though, because you were saying and.
No, go ahead.
Okay. I like how, I've always loved how music can be used to, set up a character in a movie or mm-hmm. describe a character.
Yeah.
And I always thought I would be good at picking songs for characters in movies without using any dialogue for the character. Just, show the character, some video of the character doing something. And play a song, and you would immediately have a vision of what this character's backstory might be like.
Yeah, and it's done a lot in movies.
I just feel like I'd be good at that. Okay,
yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. Well, no, thanks for interjecting that. Sometimes when I'm saying and, I'm actually just saying, Andrew, what do you think?
Yeah, anyway.
So I wrote out a treatment for a documentary film. It was like 4 pages, and I wrote down all the ideas. And then,
wait, how do you just start doing that?
I don't know. I just did it.
But
how do you start?
The documentary about?
It was about the problem of education. So, okay. The first act was the hidden lessons of school.
So, why a screenplay? Why a documentary? Why not a book?
Because I liked the visual medium the kind of how film is very interactive and it can have exciting visuals and music and stuff like that.
And books are for fags. I apologize.
And you guys have never seen any of the videos that I've made.
Only the ones you've showed me.
Yeah.
Right.
Which are very few.
You've never seen the John Taylor Gatto documentary series.
No.
Oh my God.
Just the porn.
Never done a porn.
Oh. Fuck, who was that? That was one.
So,
I don't know if I feel like I've seen something video wise that you've made, but I can't recall specifically. Stuff in my head.
We could watch one and do a commentary. But
now we don't have time. Keep going on.
So I was talking to my dad's second cousin who was a television producer about education, and he's like, "Oh yeah, man, the schools are totally fucked." And I didn't know he was a crazy left winger, and I was a new libertarian,
mm-hmm.
not knowing that libertarianism would be completely fucking offensive to anybody who wasn't one.
Yeah, so
just thinking
the worst
libertarian. Good news, I have the best ideas. I just got them, and I need to share them.
I'm a painter. You want to hear my ideas?
Yeah. No, I was also.
I know.
I was.
Yeah,
I was,
this was the translation in their head.
It's muted.
Your box. I love Nazis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Jesus, I've been playing drops for 10 minutes.
Listeners, you missed out.
I've been having a great time listening to. I played the fuck. I've been playing.
We don't care what you play.
Enthusiasm. I've been playing this one.
I
fucking cocksucker.
I'm not smart enough to know that just because he's critical of the schools, it's for entirely different reasons than I am critical of the schools.
Right.
So I write the treatment and I give it to him,
And he's like, oh, this is, I don't like this at all. He goes, you should watch more Michael Moore movies and just try to do what he does. And I was like, well, fuck you. And I never talked to the guy again because I thought that was so fucking stupid. So I just tabled the idea for a couple of years and then started working with another podcaster on his show, just kind of like being a guest host sometimes. And, you know, the bug kind of bit me. And then, like, in 2009, I started my own show.
So when did it become...
The bug bit me.
Your main source of income. Or your only source of income, I guess.
All right. So in 2013, I left...
Sorry, that was late.
I quit a tutoring job. And I was just still getting like word of mouth work, but I moved to Connecticut to spend a few months with my friend Richard Grove, and I saw how his operation worked. And then I came back and I was really kind of struggling with money, and still just tutoring and still trying to grow the show throughout 2013. So at the beginning of 2014, I actually moved to Keene and I moved in with Nick, which was very affordable. Mm-hmm. And I said, this is the year that I'm going to make this work, and I'm going to be able to, you know, get my own place, and, you know.
And you did.
Yeah.
You made all that happen.
Yeah.
So
I took my last tutoring client.
He kept winning at poker.
That May. I was doing Skype tutoring while I lived at Nick's house.
Mm-hmm.
While our other roommate listened.
DNK.
With a glass
on a wall.
And beat off to SAT teens. or maybe not. I might be embellishing the story a little bit. But yeah, so and then after that, I just stopped answering the phone, stopped taking new tutoring clients. And
wow.
Now I'm actually thinking getting back into it because I've grown unsatisfied with the amount of money I make doing this.
Yeah, I guess once you get to a certain point, you're like, okay, so now I can sustain life, but getting over the next hurdle of continuing to grow and continuing to make more money, if you're cool with not doing continuously better, then fine. But I don't think you're the kind of person who just wants to be stagnant.
Nope. I need to make about twice as much money as I make right now, and I'd be perfectly happy with that forever. Yeah.
I don't think I'd ever be happy with any amount of money I make or don't make.
I don't have expensive taste, really. I don't want for much. I'm happy with just a walk in the woods and beating off to some porn.
Well, aren't you special?
And a fridge filled with LaCroix.
Yeah.
Pamplemousse. So,
sorry,
you've alluded to it on the show, and we talked about it on the PCL, but you did an event in August with another man who's an author, and you're also doing another event with him next month.
November.
Which essentially is next month for anyone listening to this.
Yeah.
Because it is, in fact...
Hold on.
It's the end of September!
So, yeah, but when you do that, it's happening in L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not just flying to L.A. and doing it.
No.
You are driving across the country.
Right.
I'm really jealous. I really wish I could go with you.
Mm.
I should just quit my job, sell my house, and go with Brett.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah. That seems smart.
I want to hear about this because I've always wanted to do a cross-country trip or a road trip. Like last year when we drove through Arizona and Nevada and Utah, it was super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to do that, but more of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your hopes? What are your plans? Without like having to outline every single little detail about the trip because it's like a month, right?
The whole trip will be about 40 days.
Wow. Okay.
There and back.
Over a month. What do you hope to get out of it primarily?
Well, primarily, as far as the show is concerned, I want to meet people in my audience and I want to hear their stories and I want to tell them on the show. Because when we did the event in Salem in August, I was really moved, as was Thad, by the stories that people had and how they had made decisions based on stuff they had learned on the show or taught themselves from other, you know, from other sources. And I realized there's people like that all over the country, and a lot of them would probably put me up for a night and I could do a podcast with them. So I want
a cheap way to see the country, meet people.
It's not content. Cheap. I mean,
it's cheaper than renting a car, staying in hotels. I mean, what, can you think of a cheaper way to do it other than taking a bus?
No.
Yeah. No. So it's a cheap way to do it.
Gas, food, preparation.
Supplies.
You know, I had to buy a new computer. I'm going to have to buy a bunch of other new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Look out for Kathy Bates while you're on the road.
I will. So it's, it's a lot.
Who's seen the movie Misery?
Only parts.
1990.
Only parts. I know about it.
Have you seen it, Brett?
Yeah.
Okay.
With Paul Newman?
Nope.
No, James Caan.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, I always picture Paul Newman there for some reason. It's weird.
So what do you hope to get personally out of this trip?
I'm challenging myself. I'm getting out of my comfort zone.
Mm. How so?
It's not a good idea to do this right now. Like, I should be probably looking for additional sources of income and a new place to live. And instead, I'm going to do neither of those things and spend a whole bunch of money. So I've gotten a fair amount of support. I mean, I think I've probably gotten
at least four
$1,000 in donations to put towards this.
Holy moly.
Some of it in Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
That's been great. I just need to have this life experience at this point. So, you know, I'm 40 years old. You remember when we did the bonus show about my brothers and like just other kind of slaves? Well, I'm not, you know, and I made a life for
Somebody's
myself.
Somebody's got to do something about the blacks.
Where I can have a lot of freedom that, you know, most people can't have. And I was just sitting around one day saying, what am I doing to take advantage of it?
Yeah, who the fuck couldn't really, like, that would be interesting. It would be interesting to be able to just travel for a month.
Well, like, if you have the right mindset.
Yeah.
Do
Because I've had bad mindsets and I've been free to do whatever the fuck I wanted and it never was great.
Oh.
But that was because it was me as a teen or something.
I don't understand. Like when you moved to Florida or something?
Yeah, or like I would just be like, I'm going to go back to Pennsylvania for a few
days. I don't mean that. I meant take a fucking road trip for a month.
I'm going to go to Costa Rica and live there for a few months.
That
sounds amazing, doesn't it? I think most people would be like, oh my God, that's incredible.
No. Not to me. I just meant traveling and then come back. I don't know. I might get bored.
Yeah, I'm not going
to. Who has the freedom to do that? I got jobs and a cat.
Exactly.
You know, I was like.
So I don't want to say it's going to be stressful, but it's going to be taxing.
Well, yeah,
it's going to be a challenge.
So you're going to go and see old friends, new enemies. What are you most looking forward to besides the event itself? And describe the event. What is the event exactly?
And it's called A Weekend with Thaddeus Russell, and it's like a seminar where.
Why isn't it called A Weekend with Brett Vinat?
Because he's a bigger name. It's called Renegade University. Renegade University and School Sucks Project present A Weekend with Thaddeus Russell.
Okay.
Mm. So we each take a percentage of the ticket sales.
Mm-hmm.
He's given me money that would have been used for a plane ticket. You know, I get put up in a nice hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get the plane ticket money for gas. Probably enough to go one way. And, it'll be a weekend. The last one in Salem was actually really social. Like, there was a lot of, you know, people talking and sharing ideas and laughing and having a fun time. And it was great. Walking around. It was really cool. It was a really neat experience.
So, are you just recording live shows at this event? Or
I'll be recording live shows all the way. Well, not live shows, but I'll be doing podcasting all the way out.
Right. I know that. But I mean, as an attendee of this event, what do I get as an attendee?
If you were a fan of Thaddeus Russell, you'd get to, hear his ideas and participate in discussions about them, which some people are very interested in.
Okay.
And you'd also get to be a participant in the live podcast that we do, if you want it to be.
All right. So outside of the event, what are you most looking forward to for your trip?
Oh, I'd say I'm actually looking forward to the trip more than the event. I barely even thought about the event because doing it in Salem was like a test of figuring out how to make it work. And now that we know how to make it work and what we did wrong, we feel like this, I'm not going to say it should be a breeze, but the event is not my biggest concern.
Hmm.
There's events along the way. You know, I'm doing events in Philadelphia, Columbus, Ohio, Detroit, Denver,
Denver, I still need to set that one up. And then probably a couple on the way back. And there's a filmmaker from Australia who is going to ride back across the country with me and make a documentary about it.
What?
About your entire trip? Or
yeah, about that part of the trip. And he's going to go to the Thaddeus Russell event. He's coming from Australia.
So is the entire documentary, you're the subject?
I'm the subject.
Of the whole documentary, not just like a part of it?
No, I'm the story.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's okay. Interesting.
Well,
yeah.
What place are you most looking forward to going outside of any professional podcast, friends, just geographic place?
I'm interested in seeing Pittsburgh. I've never been there. I think it's a very cool place, and you'll be there.
Yeah. So listeners know, I'm joining Brett for a very short bit of his trip. I'm going back to Pittsburgh for a long weekend for me, and during my stay, Brett will be there, and I'm going to kind of show him around. We'll have fun.
Yeah.
Because it is a cool city. I know I'm biased. I lived there, but I never appreciated it when I lived there, and I learn that more and more whenever I go back.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go see Amy.
Gumbans.
We talked about it in the PCL.
Yeah.
You're going to get to hear some of that authentic Pittsburgh accent.
Fuck yeah!
Yeah, we'll go to some divey places, like some shitty grocery stores and...
A Steelers game? Steelers mm-hmm. game?
No, I don't want to go to Steelers game. I'm not wasting that much time on the fucking Steelers. Okay, so besides Pittsburgh, where
exciting.
Else?
Seeing the Rocky Mountains. Never seen them before except from a plane.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Driving the California coast.
That's what I want
to
do.
Never been to Texas. Never been in the South.
Never been to Texas?
I've never been anywhere.
Wow.
So this is all new.
Let me tell you, it sucks.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Might be interesting. Do you like flat, boring shit?
No.
Welcome to Texas.
Well, no, but it's different. It's different, you know?
It is. I'm just, I hadn't.
Like, if you took America and you dropped it anywhere else in the world, it would be like 30 countries.
It would kill a lot of fucking people.
It would be like 30 countries. So,
yeah,
like,
it's a big place.
America has very, you know, distinct
varieties,
cultures from region to region. And I think it'll be a really interesting thing to see. And I think that as I travel from region to region and from culture to culture, there is this common thread that I'll find of people who listen to me and have, you know, used some of the stuff that I talk about on the show in their own lives.
Well, I think the whole idea, the whole thing is really great. I think you're lucky to be in a position to take advantage of this.
Yeah, certainly.
And do it. It's extremely exciting. Oh, I wish I could fucking do it. Like, I wish there was some way for me to do this, and
I just quit your job.
That ship has sailed.
Quit your job on Monday, and you travel the world.
Yeah. Like, I used to move to different states for just months at a time. I'm like, I'd work a whole bunch, save up money, and be like, I'm just going to quit for 3 months.
Well, I feel like this is the last chance for me to, like, I should probably settle down. Should probably find someone to marry.
Yeah, should you? I don't know.
Should probably be more responsible about how I make money. Like, I should probably have a more adult life at this point. Like,
maybe
the sacrifices that I've made are significant, and sometimes they weigh on me pretty heavily.
How so?
Not having the kind of security that a lot of other people have.
Right. Yeah.
Not having as much money as other people have.
Mm-hmm.
You know. It can be really frustrating.
Yeah, but you take the pros with the cons and you kind of weigh them. And I think being your age and being able to do this is so much more significant than being like, oh, yeah, I took a year off between high school and college and I just fucked around and traveled all over.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't appreciate that as much. Nowhere near as much, I don't think.
Right.
If you were 18 and got to go all these places. Right. Like, sure, it might have been fun, but I don't think it would have been as significant, or you wouldn't have had enough life experience to really appreciate as much.
Right.
So I think doing it, like I got, you know, when I was a kid, I used to get to travel all over and I never appreciated a damn thing about it.
Right. Yeah. I didn't either. And now I'm just excited to go any place new for the first time.
Yeah.
Like I'll be riding in the car with somebody and I'll be like, I've never been here before. I've never been right here.
Look at that gas station.
Yeah. No, seriously. Like,
they have a McDonald's too.
I'm happy. I would be happy
You know what would be a great day for me? Just to drive down the street from your house to that abandoned building and walk around inside it.
Yeah, no, me too.
Yeah, that would just that would totally rule.
This is part tetanus.
This is partly why I love my job, because I get to go to every single town in Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont. Like, there are very few towns in these three states that I have not been to more than once.
When you get into Maine, do you ever talk to anyone in Maine who goes, "How far are you going up Maine?"
Yeah, actually. A lot of, like, highway rest stops and stuff.
Because they don't say we're going up to northern Maine. They say up Maine.
Yeah. How far up Maine?
Or, how far up Maine you going?
Or, it's real confusing at first until you understand it better, down east. Down east is extremely up Maine.
Is it?
Yeah.
it's very north and also
very
the east part is.
Why do they say that?
I don't know.
Because
it's, like, down and east from the highway a few hours.
Ah,
it's weird.
Fuckers.
Yeah. So, like, to get there, in a lot of cases, you would go up the highway and then south for 3 hours once you reached Canada. So you're kind of going down.
Yeah, I've looked at the maps up there. My dad does that, too. Maybe you guys could carpool.
Yeah.
He goes up Maine.
The insurance business. He goes up Maine. Oh, he goes up Maine.
No, I can't carpool. Because what if he wants to drive?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
unacceptable. Can't happen.
And he'll be like, "People are tailgating me, and I don't understand why."
Oh, my God.
I bet we get there at the same time.
We don't get there at the same time. You know why? Because when I do these long drives, I pull over, I go pee, I get a coffee, I, you know, answer some emails, I get back on the road, and within 30 seconds, I'm passing somebody I passed 20 minutes ago.
Right.
So they drove for 20 minutes, I drove for 12 minutes, pulled over, did some shit, and made it just as far.
Right.
Yeah. If Andrew was ever super rich, he would would drive the chauffeur.
I would.
You'd hire a chauffeur and be like, "Fuck this, get in the back."
Yeah. I'd be like, "Go get drunk." I'd invite him to the party, I'd let him get really drunk, and I'd throw him in the back and drive him home.
That'd be funny. Just be so rich, but you're the one.
No, if I was really rich, I would just drive however the fuck I wanted and not give a shit if I got pulled over. Even to the point where I get arrested. I would just have a great lawyer on retainer and be like, "Fuck it. Well, I don't care. I'm bigger and better than all of you local
governments." You sure would like Dubai or the UAE. Yeah. Ever seen those videos where they're just doing fucking drifts?
Or somewhere I can bribe police?
Yeah.
It'd be wonderful. I'd be happy to give police money if I could do whatever the fuck I wanted. I would be the worst, like, super wealthy guy. I would be a super villain.
Yeah.
I absolutely would.
Mm. Well, it's a good thing you're poor as shit, then.
Yeah.
Well, exciting stuff. I don't know how we're going to end this conversation.
I also wanted to ask Brett some more stuff.
Oh, okay.
So you've alluded to this before, especially in Andrew and Brett's teen saga, which you can hear on the PCL. We just released part 5, which was all about Brett's college years.
I fucked up, too. So if you got a file this last week, like between September... Was it fucking 21st or something in the 30s?
A very recent PCL says part 4. It's actually part 5.
Part 5. I fucked up.
So, anyway.
So, listen to it, goddammit.
You talked about doing a lot of work on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate?
Like tattoos?
No, not yet, actually.
Not yet?
Yeah, I used to be a fucking disaster, and I've tried really hard over the last few years to kind of pull myself together. I used to drink a lot. That was always a problem. I would have periods of sobriety and then drink again. That was usually a bigger problem. And I just wasn't very happy or secure or comfortable with myself. So, you know, like really starting in 2013 and then really intensifying in like 2015, I've tried to address these things.
So what steps have you taken to address them?
Well, a lot of it is like stuff you have to do for yourself. Like journaling has been a huge helpful part of it. Exercise provides a really good foundation for like more self-care. Like you take better care of yourself if you have a routine of, you know, exercise, because it's like a commitment that you make. And then, you know, for me, it's something I've been able to like build the rest of my life around.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that I do this, going to therapy has been really helpful, and not drinking, has also been, I would say, the thing that makes it possible for me.
So I'm just relating this to my experiences as of late. and I feel like I'm working on myself. On the other hand, I feel less driven and more shiftless than ever before.
Yeah, I feel that way too sometimes.
Yeah. And like I've taken clear steps to improve certain things. Like I have lost nearly 30 pounds in the past few months. Mainly just from changing eating habits. Yeah, I know. But on top of that, I've been exercising a little bit, and Brett's been helpful with that. But I've been trying to, I know I've said on the show before, I've been trying to say yes to things, do more things, more variety, have more fun.
Yes to things.
Be more friendly, not hate every stranger, try to talk to more people in general.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, it sounds awful, but it's not. This is how I talk to some very nice stranger in Pittsburgh for hours and hours and had a great time. And this is how I talked to two dudes outside of a bar last week. This is how I talked to two girls at a bar last week.
Mm.
And that's all well and good. And I feel like I'm kind of on this path of, you know, okay, if it seems like it could be good for me, I'm going to try it. Like, I dove into trying to be more responsible with personal finance in spite of not having much money compared to, like, a year ago or something. And rather than just read about it or listen to an audiobook and forget all about it, like the David Allen thing, actually taking action to sort of improve those things and look long-term and set goals. But on the other hand, along with all this stuff has come a lot more drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's really as bad for me as it sounds, or if I'm just burying my head in the sand.
No, it could just be a phase.
Maybe.
Because you do weird things, like if you thought you had a problem with drinking, like you drink a whole bunch and then just stop, which is a very not alcoholic behavior.
Right. I don't seem like a problematic drinker.
No, and then you get up the next day and do stuff without drinking more. That's you're really nailing it as far as I'm concerned. Like, I'm envious that
you can.
Yeah,
I think I've gotten really good at drinking.
Like, the fact that you can get drunk and then just be like, okay, I'm going to stop drinking and I'll sober up, that's insane to me. I don't know how anyone does that.
Well, it's once he falls down the stairs, then he knows
he's
had enough.
Yeah, okay, so I don't think it's possible to drink, let's say, 100 times and not fuck up once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've told us about.
I've talked about it every time.
Oh, yeah. No. This is great show content. You think he's going to keep this shit to himself?
Yeah.
So, we have nothing else to talk about.
But no, I think in general, like last night I drank a lot. And with each drink, I drank a bunch of water, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that way I don't feel sick.
Yeah.
When I start to feel less in control, I'm like, okay, well, now's the time to stop. Or I'll have one more shot's worth and then I'll know like that'll be a good level. And then I go to bed. Maybe I'm still drunk when I go to bed. But I wake up in the morning and I don't feel sick.
That's amazing.
Mm, yeah.
Last night I went to bed at 2. I got up at 6:30, and I felt a little bit, but that's because I only got 4.5 hours of sleep, not because of drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I've been reluctant to be like, oh, well, the smart thing to do would be to not drink tonight and just
go to bed.
Yeah.
Get sleep.
But
get
because of drinking, I've been social. I've been out. I've been having fun. I've been talking to people. I've been, you know, I don't know. It's social lubricant, right?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah. I'm just trying to see if weigh the bad decisions versus the good ones and how bad the bad ones really are.
I don't know. It's different. It's interesting for everybody. And it's really hard to, I think, for most people, to grow as a person, as gay as that sounds. When you do drink a lot, because mm-hmm. you have that to fall back on. And like for me, even like my own thinking is like, well, if I had some like terrible disease, I could always just, you know, like I wouldn't want to suffer, you know, or I wouldn't want to make anyone take care of me or anything. Mm-hmm. Like I could always just get, you know, a bottle, and I don't have a gun.
So
I could always just get a bottle of booze and do myself in, you know, like that thought is always in the back of my mind. But yeah, if it's like, well, I can always just go in the next room and have a drink, then it's harder to confront some of the things I think in life that probably need to be confronted, you know?
Okay.
But, Like stopping, but it's not to say that if you stop, if a person stops drinking, that they're going to confront those things. They can just transfer whatever. And I feel like I do this a lot. Like I just transfer whatever comfort to some other behavior.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, you can
that need to satisfy or to feel that comfort, it can just be satisfied by some other behavior.
Which is why I don't think drinking for me is a problem. Like literally before a few months ago, I drank maybe a beer or two on the show, and that was really it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've had nights where I've drank every night for 10 days straight.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've had weeks where I've drank once a week, and it doesn't seem to bother me either way. It's more of a matter of boredom, and the only thing to go do is to go somewhere and have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
What do I do? I don't know. I like to eat.
Luckily, I don't like eating. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't like eating. You can beat off. Well, that can be problematic, too.
Yeah, I don't do that all that much anymore, either.
You should get a really good...
It's good to know.
How do you feel the exercise is?
Well, so we exercised yesterday, and I didn't feel like it kicked my ass as much as I had my ass kicked in the past. Brett and I have been doing kettlebells. He's been introducing me to kettlebells. And I've been trying to keep up with him, which is tough because he's in good shape and I'm not. And yesterday after we were done, it was colder out, so I wasn't covered in sweat. So I didn't feel like my ass was kicked. However, for the next hour, I felt like, oh, I'm really tired. If I fall asleep, I might not wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I can't breathe.
Like, ever?
Yeah.
No, you'll be fine.
But you feel okay today?
Oh, yeah. I felt fine within 2 hours.
Yeah. And you don't feel sore?
Surprisingly, no, not really. Maybe a little bit in my forearms just from the kettlebells slamming into them.
Yeah.
That's it. That's just bruises.
Yeah.
That doesn't count.
Well, I mean, that was the idea, is to keep changing things up so we don't get used to doing anything. Or we don't do things with too high a frequency. But I mean, I think that exercise generally makes a person feel better. It's like the best way to deal with depressive thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
True.
I think
it helps.
Boredom is the most dangerous thing if you're depressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like puke. What's your perspective? You've obviously seen me a lot for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
And you saw me go from very depressed, lost mm-hmm. girlfriend, lost cat, lost dog,
mm-hmm.
Nothing was going well, to now. I'm not saying things are going well, but I'm not as fucking sad and pathetic as I was a few months ago.
Correct.
Like, well, I don't know. What have you seen change, if anything? I'm just curious.
You're definitely more social. You used to be like... You still kind of hate going out to eat and stuff, but you're definitely more interested in going out, so to speak. Like, you go out a lot without, like, it used to be, I think the only time you'd ever go out was with friends or whatever, and now, you still go out with friends, but, like, different friends, right? You're always out doing something, like, every night.
I try, and I'll go alone in a lot of cases, which kind of feels sad.
I think, like, there's a lot of social pressures on that nonsensical idea. Like, I've had people... Like, when I was in the Army, I used to go to movies by myself all the time because I didn't have friends that gave a shit about movies or they had families or whatever the fuck. So, like, on a weekend, like, I was just fucking hanging out in the barracks or whatever, and I'm like, I love movies. I'm going to go fucking watch some. And I'd go to the theater and watch movies. And I've had, like, I said that before to somebody, like, a couple times. People are like, you go watch movies by yourself? Like, yeah, it's not, like, they don't fucking, like, arrest you if you go into the goddamn theater by yourself. Like, it's fine.
Well, they arrested Paul Rubens.
I have a better method. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's silly if, like, people focus on this, like, you're doing something alone? God, how weird, or some shit like that. Like, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with, like... You know, you can go on a hike or something by yourself, or, you know, you take a shit and you shower alone. Nobody ever, like, says, like, oh, my God, you do that alone? Like, yeah, so why not go to the bar alone? And then, like you said, like, you've been working on, like, actually meeting new people, and that's something that, like, I fucking hate doing. And so,
yeah, and it really isn't that bad. So,
right, then you get used to that, and then you just like become a normal human being, I guess.
I've been trying to listen to like personal growth stuff, and you know, if there's something that sounds good, like the personal finance thing, I got on board with that. And I'm trying to absorb as much of that as possible, and I'm finding myself ignoring my old staples. Like, I'm so far behind on all my podcasts because I've been listening to stuff that may be beneficial to me.
Yeah. And what, you know, I mean, it's that's fine. Like, I get into this thing, habit kind of like, I don't know. I've been watching a lot of fucking TV, you know, now Netflix and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know.
I don't even like doing that alone anymore.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I like watching shit alone because nobody bothers me. But no.
I only do it when I'm really bored anymore, and I used to watch so much TV.
Well, there's probably something else that I could be doing constructive, like, you know, going outside and taking a photograph or two or some shit like that, you know, instead of just sitting at home fucking off.
Yeah, like, you could go exploring and get photos.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Well, last week after the show, Puke...
Because I thought that, like when I was going to the gym a lot, mm-hmm. you know, I thought, like, I'll join a gym and maybe I'll meet different people or something like that, or women or some shit. And like, I never talk to anybody. I just go in there and my fucking normal, like, wallflower self would just not
I absolutely
talk to
get
anybody
that.
Else and not pay attention to anybody, you know? And,
right. I'd be terrified to talk to a female, and I certainly don't want to talk to any dudes. Like, why would I talk to strangers? What the fuck do I have to say that they want to hear? And
exactly.
Who the fuck cares about them? Right. But I don't know. It's just a matter of realizing, nope, they're probably a fine person. They probably don't suck as much as you're building them up to suck in your mind. And you got nothing to lose. If you go up all scared, then, yeah, you could feel embarrassed. You could feel shitty. But if you just go up and go, oh, I have something interesting to say, or I can make a funny joke. You're a funny guy. You have wit. It's not as hard as you think. And the build up to it is so much worse than actually doing it.
Yeah.
Like, no matter who you're talking to. Like, joke with the old lady at the cash register at the gas station.
God, why?
Exactly. Why? Because it just makes you feel better. Like, maybe you made her day a little bit better.
Ooh.
I don't know. I know it sounds stupid. It sounds lame. But last week, after the show, we went out to the bar. We went out to Area 23.
Uh-huh.
Me, you, Peter, and Macy.
Correct.
And I'm like, I'm not going to drink tonight. And you guys were all drinking. There was a band playing. It was super loud. And it's just not a good place to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And jeez, all of us wanted to sit there and talk, and we really couldn't.
I fucking hate loud live music at bars.
Oh, the worst. These fucks.
It's fine. It's just, at a certain point, it's too loud.
If you go there to listen to the live music, that's I guess, like, people do it. But, like, I don't know. I'm not a music person. I don't want to... If I want to listen to music, I can listen to loud music and not talk to anybody in a closet. If I'm going out with friends to a bar, I want to be able to have a conversation without screaming at them, you know? So anyway,
So
we played some pool.
Yeah, we're there for a while, and at one point, two beautiful women walked in. At least I thought they were.
Uh-huh.
And they sat down, and I'm just like, oh. And you, like, as you know, you take note of that, right? As I'm sure you did.
Yes.
Right? You're a dude.
Because there's a larger contingent of
dudes.
Like, scruffily old dudes.
Yeah.
In this bar.
Right.
It's kind of a...
And there's a lot of regulars, you know, too, and these two girls were not regulars. They sat down.
Oh, well, you would know
that. I'm a regular.
You're the scruffy old dude.
Yeah. So, anyway, they sit down, and we're sitting, and I'm like, shit. I should, you know, if I try to stick with my, you know, whole getting better thing, I should go talk to them.
Right.
Right? And, like, I don't want to sit there and think about it forever, and if I get some kind of signal or a smile from one of them, I need to just go. I don't need to wait. I need to just go do it. And I couldn't tell if I was getting lingering glances or not because I was too up in my head, right?
Yeah.
Then I thought, what the fuck can I do? It's so goddamn loud in here. They won't hear a fucking word I say. Well, I could do it in between songs. So eventually I went over and talked to them. And the next thing I know, I realized, oh, they're laughing at everything I'm saying. They're asking me a bunch of questions about me. Mm. Then I just said, hey, we're going down the street to another bar to get some sandwiches and some more drinks. Would you guys like to join us? And
fuck yeah.
Much to my surprise, they said yes. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Fuck yeah.
And then my inner Costanza kicked in. It said, leave on a high note. Leave on a high note. Don't fuck this up. So I just said, all right, well, we'll see you there. We're going now.
And then
I came back. I'm like, you guys got more drinks?
Oh, yeah. Chat says got another beer.
Yeah.
Like, so, we have to fucking go.
I made him chug it and we left.
And in the parking lot, you said I should just go now. We should just leave. go home and never go to that other bar.
Yeah, leave on a high note.
Because they're not going to come to that bar.
It's not going
to
get any better than this.
Yeah.
So we went down the street to another bar and walked in, sat down, and I didn't know how long it would be till they got there, if they were coming at all. I kind of doubted they were going to come.
Yeah.
And we sat down and...
Because what are the odds? Like, that shit doesn't happen in real life.
A few minutes went by and they hadn't shown. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to go out for a cigarette. Maybe I'll see them outside. And
yeah, because it was kind of a busy place.
Yeah, it was a busy place. And it's kind of a big place. So I go outside. I'm having my cigarette. Two dudes walk up. And they look kind of like young, meanish looking dudes. Then I thought, well, why do I think that? Why do I think they're mean? One was black.
Okay.
And so was one of the girls. Oh, one of the girls was black, too.
Oh, ooh, really? Huh? Now that's exotic.
I know. So, anyway, I started talking to these dudes, and I'm like, oh, I can be friendly to everybody. And at first, when I started talking to them, they were kind of like put off, like, why the fuck are you talking to us?
So why did you start that conversation? Like, they just walked up, and you're like, howdy, fellas!
No, I heard the one guy say, I about shit myself. I had to get the hell out of there.
And Andrew went,
oh, my lucky star is a Negro. So I said, tell me you were running to a bathroom. And he's like, he was kind of taken aback at first. And then we just started talking, and we were joking and having a great time talking.
Were they standing there? Or
they were having cigarettes, too.
Oh, okay.
And they were about to walk into the bar.
Yeah.
So we were all sitting there talking, and then all of a sudden I said, I'm sorry I have to cut you off, but there's two girls that are walking up right now that I invited here, and I can't believe they came, so I'm needed elsewhere.
Nice.
And they said high five.
And they're like, man, that guy's cool.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I didn't say that, but I'm sure they felt that.
Yeah.
So anyway, these girls walked in, and I went and found them. And Puke, why don't you explain what happened next?
Well, so
I was riding this high. Sorry.
They came into the bar. They sat at the bar, whatever. You walked over and, like, showed them where we were sitting. So they came over and they actually sat down with us, and we all introduced ourselves and started chatting and stuff. And you were talking to the one lady, and, you know, the typical chit-chat, like... they were from out of state. They were both, one was from D.C., one from California. So there's questions about that, like, why are you in New Hampshire? And, you know, oh, there was an interesting thing where Andrew said something about, like, I don't really recall. I should record every conversation. I don't know. You were like, yeah, I noticed you guys at the other bar because you look different. And the black lady was like, what do you mean by that?
Oh, I didn't mean like that at all.
I know. And then you said, like, well, you guys aren't covered in flannel and tattoos or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, so I heard that question. I was like, oh, no.
No, that was the most innocent fucking thing ever, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was. But, you know, it was funny. And so you asked the questions, like, why are you here? What do you do? All that jazz. And we find out that... they're lawyers. They're in law school in New Hampshire. And, you know, so it's kind of like, what the fuck? There's a law school in New Hampshire. Why would you move here? And all this stuff. I guess there's a decent law school. And
I was talking primarily to the white.
As you do. Yeah.
Well,
you were just, that's how they sat down or whatever, right? You were,
yeah. And that's kind of the one I was sort of focused on.
I thought
on.
About that. Should we have strategized more about like how we should have sat at the table?
So I don't know,
that,
Brett. Like,
you
should
have,
what do you
I think you should have been in my spot maybe where you could have had access to both at once across
right.
the table as opposed to beside them where the one lady blocked your view of the other lady.
Yeah. You have to leave your options open and read the situation. They mm-hmm. both came.
Yeah, I know. And they were both friendly and talkative to me. And mm-hmm. I was trying to pay them both equal attention, even though I thought, oh, this black girl's not going to be into me.
Yeah. So we got out the whiteboard.
She was taller.
And I should have sat here. And if Andrew could have gone a fucking bootleg play around this. Yeah.
Yeah, because she was taller and she seemed like too fashionable. For
taller than you?
No, maybe the same height. but the other girl was shorter, and I don't know. I racism.
Okay.
I'm not really sure because the black girl was beautiful. She absolutely was, but I made the wrong choice.
Well, did you? Did you not? I don't know. But anyway, the conversation went something like this. Oh, you're a lawyer. Want to be a lawyer, right? So what do you do? She wants to be a federal prosecutor.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Well, maybe not federal, but just a prosecutor.
Criminal prosecutor.
Criminal prosecutor. And at that moment...
I don't know what happened.
Andrew pulled out his fucking libertarian card and slammed it on the table and said, Fascist! or something. I don't know.
I might as well have. I never talk about this shit. I'm not the one to sit there and evangelize about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it really went south quickly because then Andrew
started drinking
talking
my drink
about. Yeah, you decided to get a drink too, which might have been a bad choice. You probably should have stayed sober.
I thought it would loosen me up.
Yeah.
It's been working out well.
It did. It loosened you up to the point where you're like,
yeah.
Like, oh, well, I speed a lot. I get tickets. How should I get out of a ticket or whatever? And then you explained your story about how you, like, the way that you were trying to get out of your ticket that he talked about a few weeks ago.
I basically said I fucking hate cops, and she's like, oh, I spend my days licking boots.
Yeah. And so the conversation went south because she was like, oh my god, this fucking guy, like, you know, he doesn't respect the authority. And then Andrew says, well, what do you think about prosecuting people for marijuana charges? And she's like, well, they broke the law. And he's like, well, but it's gonna be like, right. So Andrew got into the marijuana law debate with mm-hmm. a woman that wants to be a prosecutor, which obviously her answer is like, well, they broke the law. And so it's like, at that point, it's like, well, fuck this bitch.
Right. In hindsight, I'm so much better off never talking to her again.
Yeah.
However, it at was, the time, I feel like a huge piece of shit because I can't just keep my mouth shut and be funny and keep them laughing like I was trying to do in the first place. So I felt like I failed.
Yeah. The other lady was going for IP law.
Oh,
and we asked her about, like, what was it?
I asked her what she thought about patent trolls.
Patent trolls.
And she actually had a good answer, and yeah. I'm like, shit. That's when I said, shit, I picked the wrong one, but it was too late at that point. They were already, like, on their way out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so it was unfortunate. Like, and I tried, and, like, Andrew was, like, bummed about it, and I was like, yeah, it does suck, but it's a roll of the dice from the universe that you happen to talk to two beautiful women.
And they get came them to come to a different. So it's a victory.
And then they turned out to be fucking, you know, government-loving Nazis.
So what are the odds that you're going to meet a girl in a bar, hit it off with her, bring her home, and have sex with her, which is the ultimate goal, I would say.
Very low.
If I think about all the times I've done that in my life, I can't even think of one. I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but, like, I met a girl and had sex with her that night.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take my dick out, sure, and maybe they'll touch it. I usually, if you know that, if I can set that up, yeah, that
would.
Yeah, but like having sex with a girl on a first date is incredibly rare.
Yes. Yeah, I think that TV and movies have ruined our perception of reality,
mm-hmm.
and also super attractive men.
But it's not even that. Like, I would have been. I don't know. I feel like a victory would have been just like having a fun night. And then getting a phone number.
Yeah. So what would it, like, in hindsight, what would the strategy should you have been then? Not good there.
I really don't know. The reason I'm kind of thinking about this story is right before we got into it, you were talking about how you're antisocial in contrast to what I've sort of turned into.
Uh-huh.
So I'm trying to show you that, hey, this is like the worst case scenario. What happened last Saturday that you witnessed the whole thing. Like, that's the worst. That's the worst thing that can happen.
No, the worst
and
thing that could
back,
happen would have been
wasn't
like
that
a slap in the face or something like.
For what? What are you going to do? You're going to get slapped in the fucking face for?
I don't know. I'm saying worst case scenario.
This wouldn't be the worst. That would be like, pretty good for a show story.
Last week,
the worst case scenario is when we went out one time, and I got really fucking drunk, and I gave the bartender my fucking number on my business card.
I was thinking about that too.
That was pretty fucking dumb.
No, yes and no. It's no because you're just like, hey, just give me a call sometime. That's the difference. You don't do that. Mm. You walk up and you say something like I said. I think what I said to these girls, I thought about saying, hey, my friends over there are really fucking boring. I'm hoping you guys are more exciting. Can I hang out with you?
Okay.
I was going to say that. But then I'm like, no, I want to invite them to a bar with my friends. I can't tell them my friends are boring and then invite them to a bar with my friends.
True.
So I walked over and I said, hey, I'm trying really hard to meet new people. And there's no way I could see you guys across the bar and not talk to you or something like that.
Fuck yeah. Oh, shit, yeah.
I just walked up. I was very positive and bubbly and happy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's all it took.
That's great. I really like that. You know, a couple of weeks ago I was here and I said life is like baseball. You know, I think my new thing is life
boring
is like,
and never ending.
Life is like poker.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it is. So you go and you see these two girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like saying, oh, pair of queens. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
the cheesiest shit I've ever
heard. You want to hold on to them.
Why did you bring race into this?
You were so excited because you were like, oh boy, a pair of queens. Look at me. I made out.
Good. Oh, I like where you're going.
But as things progress, you got to know when to fold them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or when to hold them.
Who sung that? Kenny Rogers.
Yeah. Now, if you think about the wisdom in that song, I mean, it is, I don't remember if it is actually about life. If it's supposed to be that metaphor for life, but it must be. You got to know when to hold them. You have to know when to fold them.
No, it is a metaphor about life for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So usually in life, we fold them, you know?
On a warm summer's eve, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep. So we took turns.
Now just really listen.
Okay. Let me pick off YouTube.
At the darkness, the boredom overtook us. And he began to speak. He said, son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces and knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see you're out of aces for a taste of your whiskey. I'll give you some advice. So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face.
You know, as I get older, I appreciate country music so much more.
Gonna play the game, boy, you got
yeah, old country music, not
right.
That new shit.
You got to know when to hold up.
For a second there, I thought this was going to be a strip tease. He was, just kept taking clothing off.
Could you imagine how much cum you would have in your dungarees if this song came out today? Like in the midst of all of the meaningless drivel that people put out for music, if somebody came out and said, here's poker as a metaphor for life.
Oh, yeah.
And it could be country.
I don't think Lady Gaga did it very well with that one song.
Poker face.
Yeah. Poker face.
No.
Poker face.
No. But, you know, we got to fold a lot.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's really the thing.
The pair of queens is a good hand, but the flop is shit.
Yeah.
You couldn't do anything about it. And, you know,
that is a very good metaphor.
And it's really tough because, you know about some of the stories that I've had in the last 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Where I was very excited about, but then it's just you get to a point where it's like, well, what else can you do except wait for the next hand.
Goddamn, poker's great.
Yeah, the difference is this was in
with
person.
Women. You don't win money. That's
all right. Yeah.
Good point.
Hey, at least I didn't spend any money.
You didn't buy him drinks. So
no. Right.
Smart move.
I wasn't going to do that.
They sure liked the french fries, though.
Let them like the french fries. I didn't buy them.
Yeah, but they ate quite a bit of mine, though.
So. Oh, good.
You didn't notice that?
No.
They were all into my french fries. So I had a turn this fucker off, would you? I don't know. It's hard to talk over.
Sitting at the table, there'll be time enough to count. When the dealing's done,
one more time.
Know when to hold 'em. Know when to fold 'em. Know when to walk away. Something know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough to count. When the dealer's done.
Twang. Well, that was nice.
Well, she's good, right? Yeah, that was a fucking Good pull. Well, I thought it was a neat experience, you know, because I was like, wow, look at Andrew. Just walks over there, talks to a couple women. They come to another bar, all that shit. They talked. And then once the one lady got disgusted with your libertarian attitude, then she was talking to me more. And I was like, ha-ha.
I'm even worse.
I didn't mention it. I was like, talking about my military service at one point, and I was like, ha-ha.
She's like, oh, you probably wore boots.
Yeah.
I'll lick them.
I fooled you. I was a government employee once. But anyway, yeah.
Were you talking like that?
I was a government employee.
No,
I killed a bunch of gooks in NAM.
See, Puke was much better than I was because he was just simply answering questions.
Yeah,
he wasn't asking them anything.
Making like idle conversation, kind of.
Oh, see, that's the thing that you have to just like. This is real easy to do once the conversation starts because it's just like, all right, so what's your favorite color, dummy?
Yeah, and so yeah, I don't know. Like Andrew was saying that, like he you felt like you should have, I guess, if you had known somehow, like you should have just been like, oh, a lawyer, cool.
Right. How about them? But I would try to be interested in asking what kind of law.
Yeah, and then after that, you should have been like, huh.
I didn't think it was
moving on.
I don't know.
I don't
like,
know. Yeah.
I find law, like I don't know, business law could be interesting. I know a little bit about it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But again, like in hindsight, you thought that you shouldn't have mentioned anything, you know, law-like, because that's when you turned her off, because she was
I should have been like, oh, keeping our streets safe.
Yeah,
nice.
This guy doesn't love
cops. Take off your shirt.
And I don't know. What are you going
to
do?
Those are great experiences to have, and they're mostly going to be failures, and you build up calluses, you know, for those. A thicker skin is what I'm trying to say for those kind of. If you only do that once and it fails, it really, really stings. But the more of them you do, the easier it is.
The next time you ask some ladies out at a bar, you'd be like, hey, I saw you over there across the bar. Either one of you are lawyers? Because I fucking hate lawyers. So let's get that out of the way.
You fold most hands, you know?
Mm.
What you're going to be dealt is not good.
And sometimes you lose a hand.
Mm-hmm.
But and as long as you didn't go all in,
one thing you can do,
I don't know.
Any place in public, anywhere, literally just make eye contact and smile a little bit. Not like a creepy, scary person.
See, I'm so jaded. Girls do that to me all the time, and I just look away.
Yeah.
I do that too because I'm like, oh god, I must have done something wrong. Eye contact.
Right. That's how I felt. Too.
I'm gonna. There, she's calling the police. She thinks I'm a rapist.
Yeah. That's sadly.
I'm so sorry. I exist here. In the same building as you at this particular time.
Basically. That's how I feel with any human being.
Really, there's nothing to lose. You're better than most people.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's true.
Yeah, it is. I don't like the way your voice is getting higher than me saying that.
So we want to wrap this up?
Yes. I guess so. So thank you, everybody, for sending emails. We'll get to them some other time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sending the package, the book. We'll get to that Trivial Pursuit.
If any listeners want to learn more about your trip, what website?
Yeah. SchoolSexProject.com, and there's two like banners at the top of the front page of the website. One is for the event in L.A., and one is School Sucks Across America, and they can hear a podcast about it.
School Sucks Off America? What?
Up Across America.
Oh, okay. That's better.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
How desperate you are for money.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Can you imagine if you propelled your way across the country by sucking dicks for money?
I'm sure it's happened many a times.
Oh, yeah.
They called truckers?
Yeah. Lot lizards?
Oh, neat.
This is a very regular occurrence.
Want to do five more quick trivia questions?
Okay.
Ooh, you got trivia. A new wind to hold.
Science and nature. Where on a fish's body are the growth rings scientists use to determine age?
On the tail.
Puke, you have an answer?
What? I wasn't listening. I was trying.
Where on a fish's body are the growth rings that scientists use to measure age?
Oh, yeah, I guess I would go with tail, too. That makes sense. I don't fucking know.
No, I didn't even know.
The dick?
The ears.
Fish don't have fucking ears?
That's what it says, man.
What the fuck does that mean?
What bird gave its name to the lunar module that took Neil Armstrong to the surface of the moon?
Eagle.
Yeah.
The eagle has landed. Like, Jesus Christ, if somebody gets that wrong.
Okay.
Punch them in the dick.
Arts and literature.
Who had the best song
what
about gambling?
What annual celebration is taking place at the start of Great Expectations?
Oof.
What is it?
I don't even know what that is.
What annual celebration is taking place at the start of Great Expectations?
That's like some fucking novel, right? You got to read.
Yeah, it's by Dickens. So I don't know. Christmas. He always liked Christmas.
That's not an animal celebration.
Oh, Christmas
it?
Eve. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
What animal celebration?
No, this is arts
annual.
And literature.
Annual.
Oh, annual. Wow, I'm dumb.
All right, history.
I heard animal. Yeah.
Which islands did Columbus visit to stock up before setting sail to the Americas?
Oh. The
Atlantis.
I have to say the Azores.
Aleutians?
No. Canary.
Oh, interesting.
Wait, right. Where the fuck are the Canary Islands?
I don't know. Last one. Entertainment. What Stevie Wonder cover gave the Red Hot Chili Peppers their first UK hit?
Higher Ground.
Yeah, no idea.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I've ever heard that from the Chili Peppers.
That was the original version that I heard.
Oh.
That was the cover version that I heard originally, yes. I should say. And the
best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. You gotta know when to
the chorus is.
This has been episode 298 of Puke in the Gang. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. You can find us at pukeinthegang.com, obviously. /VIP/live/ All the slashes. Go there, slash them up, and slash Reno. Brett, thanks so much for coming on. And
thank you so much.
If you're not on the show before you go on your trip, good.
I should
luck.
Be the day before I leave. I should be on.
All right. And find, Brett's... Part 5 of Brett and Andrew's saga is on the PCL.
Andrew and Brett's.
Andrew and Brett's.
On my website, Brett's, it's Brett and Andrew.
God damn it.
Right on!
When the demon's done, you got to know when to hold, when to hold. Know when to fold, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting. When the dealing's done, you got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to
I don't
walk
know beats.
Away. Know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting.
Let's do a seltzer review. I'm having toasted coconut.
Toasted coconut?
Fuck yeah.
Ugh.
It's toasted. You can really taste the toast.
I think toast seltzer would be better.
You ever held a bunny?
No, I don't think I ever have.
You haven't. You don't know what you're missing then.
I don't.
Play the national anthem with sounds of dick being sucked.
Okay.
Why am I the only one that has to do shit before the show starts and then you're all just sitting there like, oh, when's it going to be done? Really, what it is he just
Luther
wants...
quit over cars, too. This is a problem.
Oh, no.
Maybe
no,
that's why Julia quit.
Oh, yeah. That would be good. We got to find some people to do this show that aren't faggots. That's the problem. It might be this one. Trivia.fyi. Like, look at all this trivia. Look, we got Super Bowl trivia, television trivia, bird trivia.
No.
What is the proper term for
unlike
a group
birds,
of parrots?
A faggot.
The answer
faggot
is pandemonium, you faggot.
Really? That's interesting. I like that.
Yeah, and you're like, birds are so fucking gay.
I don't
want to
know about
talk
birds.
About birds.
I don't.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
That's the intro. Okay.
So I said I'm not going to eat a pepper, and Andrew's like, Jesus Christ, you won't eat something? What kind of fucking asshole doesn't eat something?
Good point.